And it is a little after 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 1 p.m. in the East Coast. It is 8 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today, Monday, September 28, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to talk about the situation in the region, and we're going to send our best regards to our Jewish friends all over the world who celebrate the holiday of Sukkot. We want to send a special blessing to the United Nations Assembly, which is gathered today with the best, you know, of what the world can offer, the leaders of the free world, you know, whoever they are, to gather together to talk about the situation, and the world leaders that are trying to do their best to keep up with this incredible time. Now, we know that it's not all of them are perfect, but we know that something has to be done soon. So we hope that between the U.S., Russia, China, you know, and all the friends, and of course, I cherish Israel so much. I hope that she can take a place to be safe and guarded, and see how we're gonna deal with the situation in Syria and the rest of the situation with the refugees that are between Europe and the Middle East, and with a great effort now. We just had Vladimir Putin on in the special session of United Nations. Earlier, we had the president of the USA talking about the situation. And, you know, they sound different, and both of them are concerned leaders, and they have a lot to say and give to the world. Now, the question is, this alert that we all had from Vladimir Putin that there is a new order in the world, there is a new arrangement. It's not like we had, and the nature of the conversation was look what he has done. He created all this mess, and now somebody has to step up and play. We are, the Russians are playing it in the region. They put their hands in the dirt as we speak, and they send people and troops. The question is, how we gonna help, arrange this coalition of the willing, if we can say it, call them that. Because between the difference, that the world we had yesterday and the world we have today, there is, good intention some places, and there is a bad situation elsewhere. One thing we all united, that the war on terrorism needs to be won. And there was a really clear call from Vladimir Putin to the leaders of a spiritual leader of the Muslim world. He said that the world, the Islam was kidnapped by those extremists, and he's calling upon the leaders of the free, Muslim world to come forward and help those people that got trapped into being recruited to ISIS. And try to give them back and bring them back, to their home. And which is a fair call, because, when you have a revolution and you're there in the desert and people, tell you all sorts of story, fairy tales, you might consider doing something, maybe, not as well, but, you can think about the state of mind of those people. And the idea that, the spiritual leader of Islam needs to come forward, it's probably a new thing when it's called, from the UN Assembly by a president of Russia. We all know that there are a lot of Muslims talking about, about fair play, about the reasonable, comprehensive understanding, but not, there is no end-on engagement into the situation. They need to start digging up, the roots of the cause and start solving it. And we talked about youth sometimes and about the situation where they had to take care of, you know, of so many things, and the healing of those groups can be charming. So they need to, you know, first of all, they need to start taking back all those, you know, so empowering the grassroots. Then there is a call to cooperation. But there are a few points that I want to enlighten, because, you know, Russian were, you know, the Russian president was talking about, you know, the ensuring peace, equality, security, and, you know, and we have no alternative. We have to cooperate. And then he was talking about the WTO, the World Trade Organization, which you blame. Okay, let's talk about this. Is economic. Economic that is important to all of us. He was blaming those privileged ones that we all know that exist in the world, and we know second that they make a coalition between themselves to gather the economy. So, and they exclude the others. So I say, yes, it's agreeable, but I want to ask why in the world Russia needed to be a part of the BRIC organization, where you have the, you know, the Brazil, Russian, Indian, and Chinese cooperation to make a world economy. So this is an exclusion as far as I'm concerned. I'm concerned about this because when China evolved so fast, when growing 8% a year and having so much capital, and instead of investing it back in the world like Americans do every time, again and again, they took it and they invested in gold and into the BRIC situation. So, and what they did, they actually corrupted our system of the economy, and they created a big, big problem, because now the gold prices or the dollar become it's fairly steady nowadays, but it's not sure, because we don't know the situation of China these days. But the problem is, when you talk about the World Trade Organization, then you create big organization, and then you want to, you know, there is a theory, and it's not a conspiracy theory, but it was all intention to weaken the dollar. I think we can call him off on this one. We can call President Putin, you know, get your act together, because we want the world economy to work. So we have that point that is very critical, but it can help resolve other issues if we come to an agreement. And then, of course, the idea that we have so much forces are landing in Syria, empowering the regime, of course, against the theory. You know, he decided that, you know, Assad needs to stay. Let's assume that he decided that Syria needs to stay. Okay, and we're not talking about the fact that we have, you know, anything against. We want the terror to go away first, right? So, and we don't want Assad to kill his own people. It's something that, you know, created a refugee problem. So, on one end, he's saying we have to help Assad, which killed so many, and they ran away. So, how do you think to evolve from that? If it's, you know, in between situation, it's not going to work anyhow. But let's assume that we are gathering forces right now to get rid of the, you know, not let Syria, you know, fall in the hands of terror. That's fair enough. Now, the fact that the Russians are there and they have a military base, and they have, you know, they've been landing like 15 airplanes full of supplies to their country, I think that it's about time that the American shows up. You can't let somebody just, it's not that he's taking control, it's not that he's taking over, he wants a coalition. All right, so now it's about time that the Russians come and play right, and the American needs to show up. nothing you can do about it, and say it immediately, because if you could only, if you delay, we'll act up. He didn't say it in the, as far as time I listened to in his speech, but he said it before. He stated that the American needs to get a grip and act, or he's going to do it by himself. So not so fast. Let's gather. What will, you know? This is the time to make the right move. You know, we need to be here. American troops, you know, are not on the ground, but you know, you do what you know to do best. Because who am I to say it? Well, I can understand the situation. I understand that, especially when we have on the 30th of this month, September, there is a meeting today between Benjamin Netanyahu and I don't know who is from the Russian side to coordinate the efforts in Syria and to make a perimeter. But I don't see how you know. Such a force is going to deal with Israeli, and the Americans are playing what? They need to be in the game. There is no other issue. They are part of the game. So let's move on. Let's turn the page. This is it. Start thinking. It's not easy to make a call sometimes, but today you are in front of the situation, and you need to be resolved. And something that I learned in training, which you know, Americans are the best in training people. And something they said to me that once, you know, you're under stress, the training will take over. So if the USA is under stress, if the world is under stress, the training will take over. Let's take over there with training. We don't have, we operate. There is a situation, we take care of business. That's the way we are, and that's how we're going to roll, right? Let's get some music so we can turn the page and talk what's going on in Jerusalem. All right, and we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth on BBS Radio, the best, you know, network for the people, by the people. We are the network that make a difference. We talk about the issue, we care about the world, and we want it a better place. And we are here for you. You can join us anytime you want. It's our privilege and honor to be a part of this team. I am so happy to be back after such a break of, you know, the holiday season in Israel. Now, the holiday season is a contagious place when we talk about the holy places. Now, let's assume that we have one city called Jerusalem, which is the capital of Israel by declaration, and, you know, there is no other state, and Jerusalem was declared the capital of Israel from King David's time, and, of course, King Solomon after that. And the idea is that the Bible is holding Jerusalem close to all of us. And we all, in our prayer, we say, next year in Jerusalem, all over the world and over the globe, you know, over the globe. Now, on that mount, there was a place where the temple, the first and second temple, was built. And they were erected there, and, you know, the presence of God was felt and are supposed to be there when you keep it holy and sacred. Now, many times in the history of mankind, it's normal. It happens all the time. So we are not complaining, but we are stating it. every time that there was a destruction of the temple of any sort, some other people come and build another shrine because it's holy place. So, they build shrine according to their faith. So sure enough, after the destruction and the exile of the Jewish people, they built a mosque or a shrine there. And since then, they were there, under the Ottoman Empire, the Turks. The Turks were in care of it, and after the world decided to rearrange a new world order then, and give the custody of the state of then called territory Palestine, the land of Palestine, the land means the territory that was named by the Roman as Palestina. They give it to the British Empire to manage and to bring about the creation of the Jewish state. Now, as I said, it was Ottoman Empire, then the British took over to build the state of Israel. Then, of course, there was some kind of understanding and coordination, and Palestine then, that included Jordan, got divided in two. To build up the Transjordan country and then become Jordan. So the Palestina is including Jordan. So every time Palestina said, territory and stuff, first of all, there was never a country named Palestine, and the territory includes Jordan. So when they blame something, it's Jordan too. So let's start being correct. Now, we have a problem with the fact that the world were listening to too many lies too long, and it seems to, if you tell a lie long enough, it becomes true, which is sad because the world today can get the right news, can understand the right news, and can do better. So the right to have the truthful of honor of the holy places needs to come to terms, with the world. And it's not good for the world not to be clear about what's going on. Now, let's assume that the shrine is there and it's the holy site for the Jewish people too. But because there was a shrine, in 1967 when Jerusalem got back to the end of Israel, Moshe Dayan, then the general, decided to give it back to, no, not give it back, it says, we are going to give it to the Muslim faith community there, which the Jordanian had, and because it was a part of, let's go back. From 48 until 67, the area of the Jerusalem and everything was in the end of Jordan. So after, because they, as we said, they divided the land of Palestine and they gave it to Jordan. So then it's a Jerusalem was a part of it. Now, going back to there, we had an agreement just to hold the mosque sacred and have it in front, for the people to worship. Having said that, still had Israel in the war in 67, going back there, she got the right, to come back to Jerusalem after a war, which is devastating for everybody. And she came back, Israel came back, but, the Holy Shrine become, under custody of the Muslim authority, and the place was supposed to be open for everybody. Not long ago after, not too long ago, there was a Jordanian-Israeli accord which was supposed to organize the holy site, and it doesn't. The problem is right now we have a fight on the holy site of all, and it's something that's going to, influence us all because it's the holy place. If we want it or not, this is God's place. So it's like if you turbulence that space and time, you're endangering the world. We need to keep calm. Now, on the of Sukkot 2 days ago, they didn't allow, there was a Muslim holiday, and they didn't allow any Christian or Jews on the mount, but the escalation of fighting was there. So we suspect, the feeling is, we suspect that there is a clash between the forces in the Muslim authority on Temple Mount, which create a very combustive place. And it definitely, you know, you can blame it on the Jews, or you can blame it on the Christians. You have to understand that whatever they're doing in the rest of the Middle East, they're doing on Temple Mount. So once we consider what happened in Mecca, not a few days back, where there was also devastation of hundreds of people killed by stampede, there was a call from the Iranians saying, oh, you cannot be the custodian of that place anymore because, you know, that's what happened. And I said, on the same item, you guys, Jordan, cannot be the custodian anymore because look what is happening. It's a riot. And this is a holy site. Holy site needs to be holy. If you don't keep it holy, it means that you are endangering everybody. Now, let's assume that we are believers. You know, let's understand that we're believers. And it doesn't matter if you believe in one way or another. Sacred place needs to be observed sacred. You know, anybody who holds it, it's in God's hand. It's their right to hold it right now. So, but they need to start leveling down the noise factor. They need to make it a sacred. You know, Pope visit in America is not by chance. That is spreading the world of freedom of religion everywhere, which is really resound loud and clear in America, which is normal for freedom of religion. But in the rest of the world, it's not. And he probably was talking to the Muslim world, because I don't know any Christian right now this day that don't let anybody observe. And I know of no Jews that disturb the peace of other religions. So we have a situation that the Muslim world, faithful, needs to take action to start calming the situation, because we are the world here, and everybody wants to have, you know, the day after. We don't want to clash. It's time for coordination. What can we do? The internet helps us all communicate better. We understand the message. We understand the problem. Even that, you know, the translation, we can understand that there is this issue. But when you're talking about, you know, the connection between God and man, those places need to be holy wherever they are. And that note was probably meant also in the the U.S. president's speech, which was eloquent. All right, and we have you know, some tip, you know, for information, just to listen to while we have. Let's listen.
Russia and Israel will coordinate their military forces over the situation in Syria. That agreement came out of today's meeting between President Putin and Prime Minister Netanyahu. Well, let's get the details from our correspondent, Roman Kosarev. Roman, good to see you as always. Why have the two countries agreed to team up then on Syria now?
Well, first off, Moscow has recently become somewhat of a hotspot, of a focal point for various leaders from the Middle East who have been coming here to voice their concern over the growing terrorist threat in the region. Just last month, Vladimir Putin met with the King of Jordan, an heir to the throne of the United Arab Emirates, and Prime Minister Netanyahu became no exception as he came due to the deteriorating situation in that region. Now, Russia is currently pushing for a broader coalition against the Islamic State that will include both the United States forces and forces fighting fighting terrorists on the ground. And that, mind you, includes the Syrian government as well. Now, Israel is concerned about the...
All right, we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with the Impossible Truth. Sometimes getting the news to you, it's not that easy. So we'll have to translate it as we get the coalition of the leader of the free world needs to happen. There is the call for a forum. And, of course, we're going to have in December in Paris, the Russian are probably one of the hosts of this general meeting, which will take place about the green gas emission. Something that they like to talk about every so often when the stress getting a high level and when you don't want to talk about care all the time. So to bring that part up, I know that it's not. They don't. We need to address the situation sometimes, but their talk, their relevant talks, are not sometimes good with reality. Because if you think about what happened with Volkswagen, the German manufacturing, and the latest news that they installed something to buffer the level of carbon emission, and they cheated people. And maybe, we are not realistic on the level of emission that one can have, because if you see what's going on in China, I want to know what China is going to do about that, because it's not like the rest of the world is not affected by it, And we have other country that I don't want to mention that had some accident that, with nature that created the situation too. And pollution is something that, you cannot just say, it's go away. The sea and the ocean are full with plastic, I heard. There is so much to do in this world. Of course, that is after we fix. After we fix and we arrange all those refugees and back home safe. That's when we start adding, let's set our priorities straight. Let's listen to some music and we'll be right back after that. And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with the Impossible Truth. We've been talking about the situation, and I was missing a few days here, and I got so much news, and it's important for me to share it so you can all understand what my point of view is in formatting some kind of ideas. Now, we have a segment that talks about the meeting of Netanyahu with Putin that took place a few days back. It's so much to do in this world. Of course, that is after we fix. After we fix and we arrange all those refugees and back home safe. That's when we start adding, let's set our priorities straight. Let's listen to some music and we'll be right back after that. And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with the Impossible Truth. We've been talking about the situation, and I was missing a few days here, and I got so much news, and it's important for me to share it so you can all understand what my point of view is in formatting some kind of ideas. Now, we have a segment that talks about the meeting of Netanyahu with Putin that took place a few days back. Let's listen to that.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, following a visit to Moscow for talks with Vladimir Putin, says they've come to an agreement to ensure their planes do not shoot at each other over Syria.
Minister.
The Syrian Air Force uses the same MiGs as Russia, and with Moscow now reinforcing Bashar al-Assad and the Israelis controlling the skies near its border with Syria, the risk of an accidental dogfight was high. Russia's only Mediterranean port is the Tartus naval base, where it can operate aircraft carriers and has done so since 1971, when Assad's father granted them rights. Until recently, it was the only official Russian installation in Syria, but several sources report Russian engineers are busy extending runways at Hamimim and Hamidiyeh, with regular airlifts bringing in men and supplies in recent weeks. Israel's also concerned some top-of-the-line Russian hardware could fall into the hands of Syria's allies Hezbollah, which Israel's repeatedly attacked from the air, or that anti-aircraft batteries protecting sectors where they're present might be operated by Russian personnel. Besides the formidable MiG-29s, US officials say Russia has started to deploy drones in Syria.
All right. And we are back. It's Uli Ben Davis. We just listened to what is known as the fact that the Russian forces are, they have an aircraft carrier in the base in Syria. And the idea that some weapon will fall in the hands of, you know, strange hands or terrorist organization is known. But more of that, the Russians are blaming the American for supplying the Al-Nusra, one of the groups, of militant groups of the rebels in Syria, with weapon, which was confirmed by the U.S. Government. So the idea is that you have hardcore weapon in the wrong hands in a very, very fertile place to, you know, to engage in war. Now you get also the terrorist organization Hezbollah joining forces to save Assad. Now, Assad probably, you know, gave the permission to the Russian to have an aircraft carrier, like the American can have, you know, probably have permission to have to be in Haifa, by all means. They're not controlling the situation, because today Israel needed to respond to bombardment. A little bomb that fall in the north of Israel. You know, it's like everyday thing. You do fall bombs, and, you know, and we have to say, okay, are we going to hold still? We cannot hold still. We need to react. And Israel, we have the right to react, to defend themselves, and it doesn't matter if you have Russia there or not. They need to understand that we need to take control of the situation in our own backyard. Now, think about this agreement that the Israeli and the Russian are going to come and bring. They're going to bring it soon, in 2 days. So I wonder what they're going to have. And on top of that, we had eclipse, a rare super blood moon eclipse over the world. And, of course, there is special note, you know, eclipse over Jerusalem and everything. So everybody is suspecting that the end of days is here. And I believe that if we can make it better, if we make our accord in life better, you know, the end of time where everybody will be happy will be good. Now, I bring attention to one factor. You know, I get some Christian friend of mine and that tells me, oh, stuff is going to come. War is going to come. And I said, why? Because the belief is that it's going to end up in a big boom. We, instead, we believe that everything is going to be good. Life is going to be great. So I really like my Jewish faith, which gives me such a promise again. They're not, you know, that everything is going to go to whatever. Same as the other religion, they do believe that you have to collapse all sort of government in order for them to bring the Messiah. If they destroy the world, then something will happen. sure enough, I'm sure something will happen, because after destruction, there is change, obviously. This is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. I'm so happy to be here today. I'm honored to have this talk, and I hope that in the midst of all this craziness, you have the time to listen to me sometimes. It's a promising thing that I'll tell you what I know. It's a promising thing that I tell you what I think. And it's promising things that I probably write in some places. I can't promise you all, but that whatever I do it with my heart. And, you know, I read something today that made sense to me, and I hope that it will make sense to you, about life as it's important. It's important to understand. If I can read it, I will. And let's see if I can manage to create a situation where I can read it. Anyway, let's listen to some music, and we'll be back after that. And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with BBS Radio and the Impossible Truth on Studio One. You know, we have the news that Rouhani, the leader of the Iranian, is ready for prisoner swap with the U.S. Oh, my God. These guys are holding people, but it's not only for U.S. Please don't make a mistake. Get them all out, because the Iranian are famous. They used to hold prisoners, you know, after the war with Iraq for 13, 20 years. They don't care. They have so many there that, you know, let's get them out. If they're ready for swap, let's give them, you know, just let's get those people out. Poor babies, they're stuck there. This is a regime that, you know, we handle them after, you know, but this needs to be done now, immediately. Don't let them go away from the UN without this agreement. And I know President Obama is expected to talk with you know, Rouhani about the Iranian leader, about the potential of international cooperation with the Islamic State, Syria, and the nukes. The nukes are, you know, an addition, which is funny, because I thought we just had how many months of talks we had with Iran? Many. Anyway, now we have some segment that I want you to listen to. You know, I do hope that we can take control over this world, get rid of the terrorists, and let's start working, because we need the American economy to start shaking up the world and make it happen. We need to roll. All right, so let's listen to this.
Mr. President, it is my privilege at the outset of my remarks to express to you the deep pleasure and satisfaction evoked in my country by your election to the highest office in the gift of the United Nations. Your integrity of purpose, your clarity of thought and expression, your judicial temperament are an example here to us all. And we feel fortunate indeed in the choice of our presiding officer. I wish also to convey to the Secretary General the sincere congratulations of my government on his unanimous re-election to the onerous and distinguished office which he occupies.
In the course of the debate, the distinguished Prime Minister of Canada expressed the wish that the 12th Assembly might be known as the Assembly of Disarmament. Many other speakers have echoed this wish and this hope. But, Mr. President, is it not tragic that the 12th Assembly should still be talking of hopes for disarmament? 12 years after a war that was characterized by horrors which no human mind could comprehend or envisage? Is it not tragic that 40 years after the First World War, which was fought under the slogan of the war to end all wars, we of this generation, many of whom witnessed the ravages of both, are still engaged in debating the need and desirability of disarmament? All employ almost the identical terminology. All speak of peace. But this is accompanied by such lack of confidence, by such lack of friendship, that one often stops and wonders whether words have retained their original connotation, whether the same word spoken by different representatives really has the same meaning. We, all of the new sovereign states, should be permitted and encouraged to concentrate all our energy, all of our resources in manpower and economic resources in fighting poverty, illiteracy, disease, and desolation. But, Mr. President, are these the realities of the world in which we live? No. The sad and cruel fact is that these new countries are born into a world bitterly divided and preoccupied by a headlong race to increase destructive power and distressed by a global tension which moves from one region to another without losing its acuteness or peril. The burden under which we, the young and small nations, begin our new life is that of armaments. And before we can cope with the problems of development, we are driven by necessity to prepare to defend what was just gained, our freedom and our very being.
Israel fully agrees that problems of disarmament, both global and regional, should have a primary place in the work of this session. It is vital that we should break the cycle of failure which has for so long characterized this central problem. While it is true that effective progress is dependent upon the action and agreement of a very few of our membership, it is the duty of all of us not to remain merely passive onlookers. We must express our opinion that it is inconceivable that these talks be discontinued. They must go on until an understanding is reached. If all those who call for peace mean it, then an agreement will be reached, has to be reached.
All right. I guess this is it. It's, it was the Golda Meir, bless her soul. She was talking, you know, frankly, like she used to talk always. If, you know, we want to make peace, the agreement will come, we'll make it, and it's all up to us. But I want to reiterate something that we started to talk about before, or I started to talk about the freedom of religion that the Pope emphasized. And I learned, you know, from the Prime Minister Netanyahu's note that on his page, Facebook page, okay, and didn't call me or anything, that there was a situation where, you know, the church in Bethlehem is, you know, where there is the matriarch, Rachel's tomb, is being sacrificed, you know, really disturbed by Muslim and other faith believers. And the Christian there are really have a hard time. And I want to ask a question to the world in large, you know, whoever can listen to me in the end, you know, the other side of the moon. Now that the moon is so beautiful and the sun, you know, did is round of wedding around it. Let's say, if you have a matriarch, you know, a legendary matriarch like Rachel from the Bible, the mother of the Jewish nation, we have a tomb for her. For some reason, the Palestinian Authority, which I don't know who they are, because right now they claim to have some entity, but they are a terrorist organization because they have a terrorist organization in Gaza, which Israel left. She left it, you know, after so many years she was there to control, not to have terrorism, for the safety of everybody around. But sure enough, the Hamas took over. Now, those organizations that call themselves, you know, people that want to leave the city or whatever, they don't let anybody leave, anybody around them. They don't leave everybody, you know, need to be in chaos. That's the motto of Parandis. But the tomb of Rachel, tomb of Mother Rachel, is Jewish. Nothing, there is no other nation whom Rachel belongs to. This is the network of the Jewish people. For some crazy idea, for some unbelievable commitment, it's in the other side of the moon. It's in the territory, which is, you know, like, forget it. It's a mess. And they build a wall around it to protect. You cannot visit it because you might be stoned to death. Because they used stones to kill people, obviously they did, and now we have to go and start stopping them. Because remember, David, King David killed Goliath with a stone, so please don't tell me he doesn't kill. All right? We had one in the beginning of New Year, just to remind us all. So those Palestinians that are acting like terrorists, they're acting. You know, if they walk like a duck, they talk like a duck, they're ducks, right? They are doing everything in their power to make a chaos on the holy site of Jerusalem. And they take over the metric tomb, which Christopher, the Secretary of State that used to be, then in the United States, he signed a map, which I saw. I saw his signature on it, the map. On the map, Rachel tomb does not include. It's not on the map. You can go there. I challenge anybody who has an agreement there in front of him, or you can get the agreement. You go to the map of the Rachel tomb. It's not in the territory. For some reason, somebody put the mistake and put it in the other side. I need the world to start correcting itself. Do the right thing. Like, bring those, you know, those prisoners back home. Fix the holy places. Start doing start creating a reasonable world. When you don't adhere to reason, the world going crazy. So I guess this is it for today. I love you all. God bless you all. Happy holiday. Happy Sukkot to all the Jewish friends all over the world. May this year will be a peaceful world, a blessing to all of you for happiness, love, understanding, kindness, a lot of prosperity, and a lot of business. We need to create a new world order for businesses. Yes, we can. We will win this one. This one, we're going to have it right. God bless you all. Love you all. This is Early Baby, Venus, checking out. Ciao, ciao.